Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for giving us the breath to be here this morning, to sing, to pray, to hear your word read. Father, I pray that you will guard my heart and my lips as I share your word with us this morning. Awaken our hearts to hear your word, Father. I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Writers like to create descriptions of animal characteristics and give them to humans to help paint a picture of how we behave. For example, fierce as a lion, strong as an ox, and one of my all-time favorites, wise as an owl. The somewhat rare image of an owl sitting calmly in a tree, silently contemplating the surrounding forest, does provide a sense of peace, confidence, and serious thoughtfulness. Taken together, these are indeed character features of someone who would be considered to be wise. Our scripture passage today in James is a lesson on being wise and living a life characterized by godly wisdom. But before we move into the text, let's spend a few moments exploring one of the wonders of God's marvelous creation, the wise owl. First, know that owls are written of in the Bible in great detail. Short-eared owls, barn owls, little owls, and long-eared owls are described across the Old Testament. Be encouraged that layer after layer of facts, such as including the specific names of owls, is one more point of evidence for the care and precision which God used to inspire the writings which comprise the Holy Bible. On to owls. Owls have eyes that are positioned to look straight ahead, unlike ours, where we can move them from side to side and up and down. But their eyesight is incredibly strong and works extremely well in low light, like at nighttime. Some owls have been observed to spot and then capture a mouse that is 800 meters away from where the owl was roosting. Since the owl does not move its eyes, God created a unique head and neck structure. The owl can turn its head to one shoulder, then keep turning to be fully behind itself, and finish the turn on the other shoulder, a full 270 degrees away, all without moving its body. This precise head movement is very important to use as the owl flies and dives between trees in the forest while pursuing one of the 1,000 mice it may eat during the year. Finally, the owl's ears are not those two cute, pointy tufts of feathers on the top of its head. The ears are instead positioned on the side of the head, so the sounds which come forward toward the round face are directed by other feathers into the ears. This created feature enables owls to pinpoint the direction of their next meal using sound, even when the mouse is moving about under deep snow. Amazing facts, and just a little bit of information about the owl. Although the owl is a wonderful creature and evidence of our Creator's grand designs, we are called to an even greater purpose as men, women, and children who are made in God's image. We are created to glorify in our words and actions our great God. We are to be even more wise than the owl. In his letter, James was providing lessons and instructions directed toward the 12 tribes of Israel who were now dispersed around the known world shortly after Jesus had returned to heaven. In chapter 3, he drills down and offers instruction to the teachers who had left their Jewish beliefs and were now following after the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. These teachers had the duty to care for and to guide the new believers who were gathered with them as the church grew in number. Wisdom was essential to help shepherd the men, women, and children who may have been familiar with the Jewish law or pagan beliefs. But now these Christians were following Jesus and needed godly, wise, and peaceable teachers. Brothers and sisters, the same principles and applications which James lays out are very relevant to us gathered here today at Jacqueline Street. We have the responsibility to our children and to those who are in our care and influence, and even when encountering strangers, to teach capably and to disciple these ones in the truths of our Christian faith. To do this well requires us to speak and relate wisely as we move amongst the people whom God brings into our life. James, being a half-brother of Jesus, had a lifetime to observe how Jesus revealed and lived out the wisdom of his Holy Father. We are blessed today for the occasion to study James's directions for peace through wisdom. Let's read from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, which is on page 687 of your Pew Bible. As you listen to the text, hear James begin as he asks the probing question, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" He then gives part of the answer to help move us along as we think about whether or not we would be called someone who is wise and understanding. Certainly, we may begin to squirm as we consider the question and what our own response would be. Listen, as James next goes right to our heart and exposes the deep and dark outcomes which result from following earthly wisdom. James then lifts the lesson by raising our eyes and thoughts to heaven by describing heaven's and God, by describing wisdom's seven godly and perfect attributes. He concludes by bringing us back down to earth and into our day-to-day life. The end result of our Christ-centered works being done with godly wisdom will be a harvest of righteousness within an atmosphere of spiritual peace. Let's read from James 3, beginning at verse 13. The wisdom from above. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Brothers and sisters, James takes us from godly wisdom to peace. James desired that the early church and its leaders to whom he wrote would do their works with wisdom and in the spirit of peace. Likewise today, our desire is for our church, our homes, and our communities to be places where godly wisdom is pursued and peace is the outcome. Friends, James gives us directions toward peace. Today, my prayer is that we will use these directions to ask and to challenge ourselves. One, am I doing the work of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with godly, gentle wisdom? Two, is my heart causing detours into areas of disorder and evil? And three, Do I rejoice in the fruit that flourishes because it is tenderly planted and nurtured where there is peace? Peace through wisdom. We'll begin with James's question. Who among you is wise and understanding? Some of the answer is implied in the question, and we should immediately find encouragement in that fact. James does not say that there are no wise and ununderstanding people in the churches which received and read his letter. Instead, he asserts that there are people who should be considered wise, and then he tells the reader what to look for. So let's build on this idea for a moment. This teaching topic should give us hope and stir in us a desire to be wise. Having more people behaving wisely is undoubtedly a direction and blessing that any church or community should want. Let's do the work to become and to build up these people. Picking out the wise individuals from a crowd is quite simple from James's point of view. You will first pick up the sense that someone is wise by hearing them speak. Recall the verses we have already studied in this epistle, which lay the foundation for our spoken words. Encouragement that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Reminders to be a person who is controlling his tongue. And being men and women who recognize that the tongue is a fire. The words we use should reveal the existence and reality of our Christian faith, along with a measure of godly wisdom. But our faith is to be much more alive than only in words. Our words are to be used to actively work in the lives of those around us, in the church, in our neighborhood, or perhaps in a country where the gospel message is rarely spoken and heard. We need to be there, one-on-one, so we are able to smell the sheep, and because we work amongst them, smell like the sheep. All the while, our words are to be gentle, carefully thought out before being spoken. If the image of Jesus has come into your thoughts with this description, please fix that picture on your heart. And we will add more to that picture as we move through this text. James has now set the standard with a very tight, but fully realistic and achievable description of a person you could seek out for their wise and understanding counsel. But let's take a moment and reflect and ask ourselves once more, am I doing the work of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with godly, gentle wisdom? James asks the question in one sentence and provides the answer in the next. It sounds pretty straightforward and uncomplicated. What could go wrong? Well, the next sentence in verse 14 begins with two little words which can cause even the best directions and intentions to unravel. But if. Two words that open endless possibilities for good and bad. And though James had provided clear direction forward, we are about to enter the stage of the journey toward peace where we can find ourselves drifting or even speeding dangerously off course. Is our heart causing us to detour to places where there is disorder and evil? Into areas where, if it were possible, we would hear our Google Life Map tell us, recalculating, or wait, or make a U-turn, or even, what are you thinking? And in those confused moments, when we struggle with the life map, as our emotions intensify, when we put ourselves and our passengers in danger or harm's way, We hope to hear those comforting words come from our phone. You're on the fastest route. You will arrive at your destination in 6 minutes. Friends, we are provided with an infinitely superior navigation system than any of the technology companies will ever be able to download to our personal devices. God's Word and the record of Jesus' 33 years in the presence of people who are just like you and I is always available to guide us back on course. Use this every day. James, growing up with Jesus, witnessed firsthand the perfect example of a human life being lived. The experience of hearing and seeing Jesus teach about purity, holiness, and forgiveness caused James, with his God-inspired writings, to include these powerful words at the start of verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Including the word if means that we do not have to go through life with bitter envy or jealousy and selfish ambition in our heart. There is a way forward where we can avoid being drawn into the perils of being guided by earthly wisdom and only following after our heart's desires. James uses harsh and strong words to describe the mess our hearts can get us into. And no, the influences of on the heart are never far away from us. It does not take long for a quick glance of envy at someone else's life to take hold and then become a bitter emotion which destroys a relationship. Even when the person who is the target of our envy has done nothing wrong toward us. Learn to give thanks for your blessings. Think of the gifts God gives you each day. God created you and I in His image. Each breath we take is a gift from Him. Ephesians 2:10 provides perspective. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God has works that He wants us to accomplish when we are acting in His will. Knowing that the God of the universe will use us for His works of glory should cause us to excitedly jump out of bed every morning. We should be motivated to get started each new day, knowing that we have meaningful work to take care of. When we diligently put in the effort to do good works, there will be no time or energy to look around with envy. Instead, fill your heart with the joy that comes from having a conversation with a neighbor as you share your life stories and then hear them ask their first questions about your faith. Or having the opportunity to drop off some groceries to help a family who is in the midst of a challenging week or time in their life. Or sending a brief text or email to the person you prayed with at life group or Bible study to let them know that you are continuing to be in prayer for the situation they shared about. Words and action. Works and action. Both for God's glory. Ambition is an honorable character trait. Selfish ambition can leave a trail of hurt and bring about relational wounds that may never heal. Pushing ahead with our own ideas and not listening to other godly counsel will ultimately lead to arguments and conflict. We can become so convinced and hard-hearted by our own ideas that we will loudly boast of them to anyone who will listen. In living this way, we deny the truth, which we knew and believed, but have replaced those truths with our own individual selfishness and our own perspectives. Acts 17 recounts how the people of Berea, a city in Greece, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined, or asked about, the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. When we are reading in God's word, or wrestling with the text together, as Pastor Robin likes to tell us, there is much less likelihood of going down a solo path toward misunderstanding or misapplication. Join us for life groups on Tuesdays and at Sunday school, where there is great opportunity to ask the difficult questions and to sharpen each other's knowledge and application of the texts in our Holy Bible. Verses 15 and 16 now descend even further away from the direction toward godly wisdom that James is pointing us to. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. Note the depressing and brutal consequences of earthly wisdom. With the click of our computer's mouse or a quick swipe on our phone, we are instantly launched into this world of disorder and every evil practice. The wisdom of celebrities, academics, fraudsters, and governments is on full display, and each one is begging or pushing us in their direction. Even speaking about this now raises in me a sense of unease and causes an emotional reaction, which is exactly what Satan wants to accomplish. Confusion and disorder being masked as wisdom. The instances of earthly wisdom are without number, and I'll share an example of one that sounds inspiring but is really full of destruction at its core. During the Cold War period between the Western and Eastern powers in the years 1945 to the early 1990s, a saying was popularized: peace through strength. The intention of the expression was to provide assurance that peace could be achieved by building and possessing the strongest military. Therefore, an enemy would be afraid to attack the more powerful nations. A closer examination of the statement reveals that the human minds who conceived and wrote the words are in stark opposition to the words of James. His God-inspired instruction teaches us that peace through godly wisdom is to be our path. The peace that was achieved through military strength was fragile, subject to political manipulation, and built upon the fact that countless people would die if the available strength was ever to be proven real. This is a dramatic and thought-provoking illustration of the world's wisdom, innocent on the surface, but sinister in its reality. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Guard your heart and your mind from being pulled along by the ideas and senses which are shouted boldly and proudly by the world and clearly are in opposition to the Bible's wisdom principles. Instead, exercise with action, using the same energy as you would in your daily personal workout, the timeless and tested wisdom that was spoken by God Himself, or by Jesus, or by the prophets and the apostles. We'll move on from the heaviness of this section and ask the question. Do I rejoice in the fruit that flourishes because it is tenderly planted and nurtured where there is peace? Let's look at verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. James takes us above the fray of our surroundings and, in great detail, describes the wisdom from above. Wisdom from and through our Lord. As we study this list of heavenly attributes of wisdom, believe in your heart that you are able to take hold of each one. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are to make it part of the person God is calling you to be. As expressed by the psalmist, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. It should be no surprise that pure leads the list when describing wisdom. Pure wisdom means it is not a mixed-up concoction of feel-good sayings from people trying to sell their books or to gain clicks on their website. The Lord gives wisdom, and His words are full of knowledge and understanding. Use the wise words of Jesus in your conversations and witness for yourself the impact they have in cutting through confusion and disorder. Peaceable is next, and it is such a welcoming and comforting word. But do not mistake peaceable with peaceful. Peaceful is a desirable place that we all want to experience, like a quiet afternoon sitting by the lake while reading a favorite book. But peaceable takes effort. This may look like repenting and saying sorry for a wrong or a sin that you have committed against a friend. Or being a voice of reason and reconciliation between family or church members who find themselves in conflict. Make decisions while applying wisdom. Use your action and your words to restore peace or to preserve peace in your workplace, amongst the church community, and with those whom you love. Gentle follows on the list, and our Lord Jesus modeled this characteristic for His entire life. Isaiah painted a further picture of Jesus. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Children came and sat at His feet, and He blessed them. To hardened sinners, He spoke with gentleness and offered forgiveness. We should be like that as well. Compliant, in the middle of the list, does not mean weak. Showing a willingness to listen and, when appropriate, to behave with submission are actions which demonstrate a peaceable heart. Too often, we want to stand our ground based on our pride or human strength, when the wise course of action should be to step back, to lower the emotional and confrontational temperature, and to express humility. Full of mercy and good fruits. Do we offer mercy and forgiveness? How often do we behave in such a manner? Remember the attitude of the bitter heart we spoke of earlier. Being merciful to others goes a long way to help keep bitterness from taking root in our heart. When we act with mercy, We are often doing a good work in the life of someone who may be overlooked or be passed by. They are blessed by our efforts, and good fruit is produced for God's glory. Unwavering or without doubting signifies that the truth of the Scriptures will be held tightly. Ephesians 4 affirms James's teachings. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. As followers of Christ, we are to be ready to share and teach from God's Word with the confidence that comes from frequent studying, praying, and meditating. What a joy it is to be given these opportunities. Closing out the wisdom list is without pretense or hypocrisy. There is no room for deceit or inconsistency in God's wisdom. The wisdom from above began in purity like freshly fallen snow and cannot be mixed together with our sinful actions and attitudes so that it becomes a dirty snowbank at the side of the road. Friends, James has led us along the path of the wise toward wisdom's fruit. The fruit of righteousness which we can only share in once we have confessed our sins and professed our belief that Jesus is God's Son and is the Lord of our life. This is the fruit and the harvest that we are called to plant and to cultivate in peace. Because when we live a life that exemplifies wisdom, then our friends, co-workers, and neighbors will see that we behave differently and that we enjoy real peace, such as when we calmly and gently respond in times of a crisis, or when we show care by sitting for hours with an ill neighbor or friend, or when we build into complicated and difficult relationships with our time and our energy. We represent the heart of Jesus with these types of works. He created you and I and sustains us to responsibly accomplish His works for His glory. Equally important, the words we speak should tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel to our own heart is the best way to pursue and grow in godly wisdom, and we will indeed become more like Christ. Both in balance, our works and our words, firmly rooted in the wisdom of our Lord, growing, being fruitful, every day in the blessed peace that only He provides. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the words that Your half-brother James penned thousands of years ago and are still available for us today to challenge, to be encouraged, and to look to You for as You guide us through Your Holy Spirit as we live out the life and become more Christ-like as You have asked us and guide us toward. Father, I thank You for this time we've been able to spend in Your Word, and I pray for the rest of our day that You will go before us. In Your name we pray. Amen.